He did during the break.
Okay.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from all of the molten images. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today on Viewpoint, we have a fascinating conversation for you to consider and weigh in the balances, so to speak, just like the vision that Daniel received there in Babylon, where "Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin" was written over the walls of Babylon, and the interpretation was, "You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting." The question then is whether America has been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Now, that may sound a little strange to you, but our guest today seems to think and is very well persuaded that America may very well be the great Babylon of the Bible. I'm not suggesting that he is, or that that is true, but that is what our guest believes, strongly believes, and we're going to talk about it. But that's not all we're going to talk about. What we're really going to talk about is the fact that Babylon was under, shall we say, an outrageous curse from God. In other words, Babylon's end was pronounced. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 18. You can read about Babylon in the book of Jeremiah. You can read about Babylon in a number of different places. But God wasn't overly favorable toward Babylon. The question is, why wasn't he favorable for Babylon? That's really the question, and where America resembles Babylon today. Well, that takes us back to Josiah. And in just a moment, we're going to go back there and take a few excerpts from 2 Chronicles chapter 34 before our special guest joins us. Remember, I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective, preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. So God says, well, actually, Josiah, a young man at 12 years of age now, said, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that was found." Now, what book was that? It's called the Bible, friends. The Tanakh, the Old Testament. "For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." Does that sound familiar, by the way, friends? Does that have a familiar ring to us here in the United States of America? But God responded to Josiah, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words and humbled yourself before me, and did rend your clothes and weep before me, I have heard, even heard you also, saith the Lord." So the king then sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. Can you imagine the leader of the United States of America, the political secular leader, calling like a king, gathering all the elders of the nation together? "And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he," the king, "read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant. And the king stood in his place, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart, and to perform the words of the covenant. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it." In other words, pledge their allegiance to this covenant. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertain to the children of Israel. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Wow. What a testimony. You think that man, by the way, might receive, well done, thou good and faithful servant, from the Lord? I think so. But here today on Viewpoint, we're going to take that account. And our guest today says this may be America's Josiah moment. An end time reprieve from that which may be to come that ain't pretty. So our special guest, Richard Pearson, joining us. He's the host of Prophecy USA TV. He goes by Rick, and he's joining us here today to talk about his new book, America's Josiah Moment. Rick, it's good to have you on the program.
Chuck, it's great to be with you.
Well, when you hear those words from the Lord concerning Josiah, it can't help but quicken your spirit, can it?
No, especially when you see what's going on in America. Because the Baal worship in America, it's rampant. The sacrificing of children, everything that Josiah tore down is what we're doing today.
Well, we have in our country, as I have said so often, our nation is so deeply divided. In political terms, they're blue states and red states, but in spiritual terms, they're peoples that largely still retain some of the fear of the Lord and others that have virtually altogether rejected the fear of the Lord.
Yes, it's a political division if you look at secularism. But when you look at the Bible, it's a spiritual division.
Absolutely.
Between light and darkness. Those who want the Bible, those who want the Ten Commandments, those who want prayer, those who want the moral, divine moral protocol of marriage between a man and a woman, and those who don't want the Bible, they don't want Jesus, they don't want anything to do with the Judeo-Christian protocol, and there is a separation taking place in America right now that Jeremiah actually prophesied about.
Well, I have a question for you. To make this very personal, do you have kids?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay.
No.
So you're not having to deal with the situation that most Christian parents are having to deal with their teenagers and those in the Generation Z and millennial age, having been raised and inculcated by professors and theologians and political ideologists who have trained them to think other than biblically. That is a challenge for every man,
yes,
woman, and child who professes to be a Christian.
That's why it is so important to know the Word of God, and I believe the revelation of America's role in Bible prophecy gives you a biblical answer for what is happening today in America.
All right. Well, one of the things that we know is that the word America is not mentioned in the Bible. The closest that we think have to it, other than what you say is Babylon the Great, is Isaiah 18, where it says, "Woe to the land shadowing with wings beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, this scattered and peeled, numbered and spread out, very much like America is, and whose land the rivers have spoiled." So that's the only one that I can think of. But we're going to talk about your idea concerning Babylon when we get back. Stay tuned, friends. You're listening to Viewpoint. America's Josiah Moment, the title of the book, An End Time Reprieve of Things to Come. Your gift of $19 will put it on in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment? Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Some are saying that we're now in a great awakening in America, a spiritual awakening. Others say we're on the thrust of a great revival that's coming to America. Well, they said the same thing right after 9/11. Do you know that? The pastors all over this country, publicly and on television, said we are in an awakening. This is the moment we've been praying for 40 years, and now we are seeing a revival. Well, what did that revival consist of? Americans flooding back to church. And Time Magazine, April 3rd, 1993, said church would never again be the same. Why? Because they said Americans are looking for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. That was the cover story of Time Magazine, friends. So what happened in America? Americans were flooding back to church. Fear after Gulf War I with Babylon. Yeah, after Gulf War I with Babylon, people were afraid, and they flooded back to church for 2 months. And after that, they left the church in droves, to the point where the very pastors who were saying we were in a revival were saying now it's worse than it was before. So what is it going to take to get the attention of the United States of America, claiming to be the land of the free, increasingly becoming only the home of the brave, and professing to be a nation under God while creating a God in our own image? Rick, what say you?
Well, I think the answer, Chuck, is when you look in the Bible, you look and see the eight providential nations in Scripture that Daniel started with his Daniel chapter 2 with the image. And then in Revelation 17:10, it says that there will be eight providential nations in Scripture total. Now, that started with Egypt, in Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then Rome at the time of the writing when John received this.
Yeah, well, Rome was in power when Jesus was crucified and rose again.
Yes, yes.
It's my belief that Rome will be in power, and already is, when Jesus returns.
Just a second, though. I didn't finish.
Ah!
It says there's eight providential nations. It got to Rome. It says one empire is during the time of John's writing. But then it says one is yet to come.
Right.
And will last a short time, and the beast is the eighth. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says the seventh nation is yet to come for a short time.
Mm.
Now, if the beast is the eighth and Rome is the sixth, who's the seventh?
Well, that's an interesting
point. Well, the seventh. The seventh is found in Revelation 17. All eight providential nations in Scripture are demarked as animals. But the seventh nation, the iconic symbol, is a woman.
Well, it's the woman that rides the beast.
Yes, the woman rides the beast, but guess what? She rides the beast before he comes into power. It's right in Scripture, Revelation 17:12. She's clothed with pearls and riches,
right.
And the beast, and it says, and she sits on the beast who has not yet come into power. So
well, it says she sits. Woman sit on a scarlet colored beast. She sits on a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns.
Yes.
She sits on that beast.
17, and it says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet.
Right, that's true.
But receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
True.
They have one mind. So she's sitting on the beast before he rises and receives his power.
Well,
that woman has to be deposed.
Has to be what?
Now listen, she has to be deposed. Now listen to this. These ten kings have one mind, and they'll give their power and strength unto the beast.
Right.
Verse 14 says, they will make war with the Lamb.
That's correct.
And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. This beast makes war with the Lamb.
True.
That's inside the woman.
But we don't know who the beast is. That's the problem.
Well, the
you
beast,
can't,
all you
there's
have to
nothing
do is
in the Bible
who,
that can specifically point you to that determination. Not one
it
verse.
It says the beast is of the seven.
True. That's the closest
you get. The beast will rise up as a one-world government. She's not here yet. But she's trying with the World Economic Forum, the United Nations,
absolutely,
the 2030 Agenda. That is the beast system politically.
All right, so you and I are, let's establish some points that we're in agreement on, because there are some points that we're not necessarily agreement on, and you make conclusions that I'm not convinced are warranted, or at least can be true and total conclusions. So we're agreeing that the beast system is in operation and is coming to its fore right in front of our eyes.
Yes, and it's not coming. It's already here. It's
well,
in
I agree
America.
With that.
And it's trying to take America over. It has infiltrated America with Baal worship, the shedding of innocent blood, Ashtoreth poles, perverted morality. The beast system, the one world beast system, has tried to infiltrate America and take her out from the inside. But something has happened.
Well,
it says that they make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome because they are called and chosen and faithful. The bride of Christ inside of America is rising up now, and they're raising up a shout against these Babylonian spirits. And Jeremiah 51 says, here's something to look for in Babylon. I will fill her with men as with caterpillars, and they will, and I will send a destroying wind inside of Babylon.
All right.
And I will bring forth the wind out of my treasures, and they will raise up a shout against her. And then he says, I will fan her with fanners.
Right.
Fanners are people that take the wheat and the chaff, they dig in, they throw
and
it up in the air,
right.
The wind comes and it separates.
All right. But the conclusion
the
that you...
The fanning is happening
hold on
right
just
now
a second.
In America.
Rick, hold on just a second. The premise upon which you're making your argument is a conclusion from the get-go that America is Babylon the Great. And there's where
yes,
the problem lies. You say it is, but that's an opinion. It's not mandated in Scripture that you believe that it is, but it's not mandated or specifically set forth as such. And that's where my problem is. And I think it would be better for us if we focused on what is it that God has against Babylon, and how is it perhaps that America resembles what America is against in Babylon, without making the absolute conclusion, because we don't know that.
Okay, can I share something in 1986?
Sure.
In 1986, I gave a large amount of money to the medical missions, and at that point, I had an experience very similar to Cornelius. It says, Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, your alms and your offerings have come up from a memorial.
Right.
And God sent an angel, and he said, go to Peter, and I'll tell you the way to salvation. When I released 10% of my net worth to medical missions, I had a 7-day period, similar to Cornelius.
Mm.
I received information, downloading. I thought, what am I thinking about all this stuff for, about Babylon and evil spirits? And why am I thinking all this? On the seventh night of the seventh day, an audible voice woke me up. I had an angel in the room touch me four times in my throat, once in the palm of each of my hand, and I was told all the things that were coming to America.
Okay,
and he called
so
it Babylon.
You saw
he
yourself.
Called it Babylon.
Hold on. You saw yourself as if you were a Daniel for our time.
Well, let's put.
That's the only way I can conclude from what you're
well,
just
well,
saying.
Yes. Well, just a second. After I had that experience, I thought I'd had a nervous breakdown. I thought, this is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Daniel's experience. I didn't know Isaiah's experience. I didn't know Jeremiah's experience. I didn't study the Old Testament prophets and how they received revelation. So I got on a plane and I flew down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I got my former alma mater president, President Oral Roberts, and I said, I need you to lay hands on me because I've got serious problems here. And he laid hands on me.
And he said before the song, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Right? That was his prophecy.
Well, that's, he said, Rick, God, he said, Rick, God has definitely spoken to you. Now, okay. He raised up a school for one reason. Raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my power is not known. My light is dim and my healing power is not known, my still small voice. Uh-huh. And he said, Rick, you have definitely heard from God. Now, I did not tell him what I heard, but what I heard from God is exactly what's happening today, Chuck.
All right. So
and,
what we're
and,
looking
and
at...
And it's been almost 40 years since I received that revelation.
All right. Let's distill this now into terminology that isn't just information, but is provoking transformation. Because on this
Correct.
Program, we're not laboring in information. We present lots and lots of information, but not for the purpose of informing people. God has never commanded us that we inform people. He said we're in the process of transformation. In other words, if the information is not applied in such a way that it brings transformation, it actually brings pride and frustration and maybe sometimes even termination. So we want to apply this in a way that makes sense. What is
yeah.
it that we as see listenership here is 99.9% Bible-believing Christians from various realms, and they expect straight talk, but they don't expect us to make things up. So what is the message?
Right.
What is the message, the ultimate message that God is trying to communicate to believers in this country?
Number
Get
one,
ready because Jesus is coming?
Yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
I agree with that. So then what does that
else,
mean?
Chuck,
what does that mean?
Something else, Chuck. The United States of America is not an experiment in democracy. She is a fulfillment of divine proclamation. She has 53 biblical descriptions in the Bible, and the United States of America has met every description
All
of
right.
a latter-day nation that God called
okay.
Babylon the Great. Now, Russia's
All right.
the
That's
word.
A conclusion, by the way.
Bible.
That's not a fact. What you just stated is not a fact. It's a conclusion. Because remember, I'm a trial attorney, and if I were to put
okay.
you on the stand, Rick, I would tear up what you just said point by point. So what I want us to focus on
okay.
is not the conclusion. That's not the issue. Whether America is Babylon the Great or not is not the issue. The issue is we are who we are. We is who we is before God, and it ain't pretty. Now, what do we do? What's the message that we have to professing Christians, not to the world, because the world's condemned already? Jesus said so, John chapter 3. So what is the message that we need to bring to God's people?
Well, I'll give it to you right in the Bible. It's Revelation 18:4. It says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers
right.
of Babylon's sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Right, that's the spirit
come
of
out,
Babylon, right?
Come out from, if you
but
are
But he also
in
called us to come
sin.
Out of Egypt.
Well,
Over
no,
400 times from Genesis to Revelation, God called us to come out of Egypt, more times than coming out of Babylon. So it seems to me that Egypt and Babylon are symbols of something that is despicable in the mind and heart of God.
Yes.
Okay.
That the spirit of Babylon has worked through every providential nation, all eight of them. But in Babylon, he says, come out of her, because when he judges her, the bride of Christ comes out, and it says that the voice of the bride and bridegroom will be heard no more in her
right.
once she's judged.
I agree. Okay.
Okay,
so let's focus now. Let's get back to focusing on what is it that you believe that God has called you to deliver to the professing Christians in America that will prepare Christians to be ready for the coming of the Lord, because they're not ready. They're not ready.
Okay.
The church in America is dramatically rebellious. Dramatically
I agree.
Rebellious. So then what is it if Josiah, you said this is America's Josiah moment, then what is it that Josiah, i.e., Richard Pearson, would say to a man? We're just having a very open conversation as two brothers here. What would Josiah say to American Christians today? Next after this.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Today on Viewpoint, we're talking with Josiah the King, Richard Pearson, host of Prophecy USA, who says this is America's Josiah moment. And by the way, I think that's a great title. I really do.
Thank you.
I believe, as you have said, Richard, that what has happened right now in America, we said this, by the way, when Donald Trump was first elected president in his first term, it was said, this is affording America a reprieve. Is we ain't going to listen to God and humble ourselves and repent? Didn't happen. Didn't happen, not even close. So then we had 4 years of Joseph Biden. And when John Kerry, former presidential candidate as a Democrat, knew of Joe Biden's inauguration, here's what he said. He said that the inauguration of Joseph Biden is the sign, is the signature of the New World Order and the Great Reset. That's what he said. So then we had 4 years of the Great Reset and America being reset according to ungodly principles at every level. Then we had another election, and Donald Trump was elected, and now American evangelicals are looking to Donald Trump as the savior. They really are. And we've got a problem. Now we have an idolatry problem. Now I believe that he is a great leader, and I not understand how he's doing it and why he's doing it, but he's not the savior. So now, that being the case, what is it that God, through Josiah, a.k.a. Richard Pearson, wants to say, believes it must be said to American Christians today? During the reign of Donald J. Trump.
You want me to answer that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Number one, I do not believe that Donald Trump is my Messiah. Jesus Christ is my Messiah.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump is in the political administration of running the country.
Mm-hmm. Like
Donald
Josiah.
Trump is a wild man. He's like Jehu was. Jehu was a wild man. Guess what Jehu did? He killed both the kings of Ahab's sons.
Yep.
Who were into Baal worship.
Yep.
He threw Jezebel out of the window, threw her down, and ran over. Then he called all the grandchildren of Ahab, whom Elisha had said were going to curse him.
Right.
We're gonna wipe him out, and they had 70 heads of Ahab's grandchildren delivered into Jezreel.
Yep.
To Jehu's feet.
So now, Jehu got to business to rid Judah out of a lot of wickedness.
Jehu was unconventional. He wasn't politically correct. He was a wild man. But God used his gifts in order to align the nation.
All
Donald
right.
Trump God is using Donald Trump's gifts, his bodacious activity. I personally, I am Canadian, and I like your president.
Whoa.
I like what he's doing. I
hey,
like.
That's almost I heresy like, from a Canadian.
Well, I'm a Christian who looks at the light and the darkness, and I look at policies, and there's not a president or a prime minister or a king in the world who doesn't need the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins.
Including Donald J. Trump, who says he's not sure if he's going to heaven.
Well, do you know why God has used imperfect people all through history? Do you know there's you know why, Chuck?
Why?
Because he has no other choice.
That's exactly right. He's only got you and me, right?
He's got to work through you and me. He's got to work through your viewers. He's got to work through us.
Right.
And we have to die to our flesh and let the life of Christ rise up inside of us.
Okay.
And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Okay, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's stop right there. I'm looking at 2 Chronicles 34, 31. And the king Josiah stood in his place, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart. And then he caused all the people to stand before him and claim the same covenant and promise.
Yes.
Question. If that was done in the United States of America, we would have our churches emptied like mad. You know how I know that? Because the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America for the past 25 years has exceeded the nation as a whole by 50%. Did you know that? Did you know that the divorce rate among our pastors has equaled that of their parishioners, according to a Hartford Seminary study?
And what's the cause of that?
The cause of that is rebellion.
The cause of that is they're not walking in their personal covenant, are they, Chuck?
In other words, they're walking in disobedience. God said, "What I have put together, no man should put asunder," and we disagree. We disagree with what God says.
That's right. But each one of us, you asked me, what is the purpose of my book? The purpose of my book is everybody that reads the scriptures that I bring out.
No,
they
that, you're missing the point. You're missing the point,
hope.
Rick. The point is not everybody that reads your book believes that America's Babylon the Great.
No. It reads the Bible.
Okay. The Bible does not say that, but the Bible does say, you see, America's Josiah moment. So we went to the scriptures. What was Josiah doing? What happened to bring about a radical change in Judah? It was because the king stood and reaffirmed the truth, the absolute truth of God in his word, his commandments. They weren't suggestions. They weren't ideas. They weren't things to make the people feel better. And he required the people to stand to perform all the words of the covenant. I don't know of a single pastor that is calling for that in America. Not one. What they want to do...
This is the difference, though. Chuck, you're mixing things up. You're talking about a man that's a king. When the king said, you got to do this, you have to do it.
Okay.
We do not live in a kingship.
But the pastors are the leaders, and they should be standing up as the spiritual leaders. And if they do not have the temerity, the chutzpah, the Josiah spirit, or whatever you want to call it, if they do not have that, God will not hear. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 59, God says, don't pray for this people. They're not going to hear. He said the same thing to Jeremiah. Don't pray for this people.
But Chuck, you're missing something. The pastors aren't the only spiritual leaders. God has a fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, pastors,
teachers, none of the others are doing the same thing either. That's the point. That is the point.
Listen, Chuck. Chuck, listen. In Revelation 2 and 3, there are seven churches.
Ministry.
There are seven
symbols of the then-time church, the now-time church, and the end-time church.
And only two Philadelphia and Smyrna are the only two. It says to Philadelphia, I don't find anything wrong with you. Because
right.
you have kept the word of my patience,
exactly.
I will keep you from the hour of trial that shall come upon the whole earth. Behold, I give unto you an open door that no man can shut. It's the same open door that hath the virgins missed in Matthew 25.
Well, I agree with that, but it also talks about the church of Thyatira, in which the ministry of fornication was predominant, and that is predominating in the church in America to the point where Christianity Today, about 15 years ago, declared America's colleges as brothels.
Yes.
What do you
Babylon
mean, yeah?
Babylon has fallen, and listen, Babylon has fallen, become the habitation of every foul and unclean spirit.
Okay,
come
point,
out of her, my
look,
people.
You're missing the point. You're trying to generalize, give generalized spiritual ideas. I'm asking you to be specific, like Josiah was. He was very specific. In other words, if we're going to have change in America, if we're going to have revival in America, there has to be a conviction by the Holy Spirit through the reading of the word, like what Josiah did here before the people, and then they have to respond by confessing with particularity the sins that they are guilty of. Because without the confession, exactly, without the confession of sin, there can be no remission of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ does not apply until you confess your sin.
So how do you think you come out of Babylon, my people?
The way you come out of the darkness.
The American church
has become Babylon. That's the problem.
What's that? The American church
has become a veritable Babylon. That's what I'm trying to show you. And we're not willing to admit it. And that's the reason why we can't get revival. We can't get revival in America because we're not willing to admit that the church needs revival.
Well, what about the nation?
No, that's not the point of Babylon, Chuck.
You won't even admit that America meets the 53 biblical descriptions of Babylon.
I don't believe it necessarily does. You have concluded those things, Richard.
Let me quote the scriptures to you.
Instead of arguing, let me quote the scriptures to you. Richard, you've missed the point.
Because if you're not basing your opinion on the word, it's just your opinion.
No, you're basing an opinion based upon an evangelistic kind of looking at the scriptures to make everything fit into a particular mold that says America is Babylon the Great. It may be, but you don't know that.
Well, I do know it because I'm following the scripture.
Okay.
Listen to this. Revelation 17, 3, 4, 18, 7. She's the wealthiest of all nations.
Yeah.
She appears before the New World Order comes. She trades with the merchants of the earth at her deep water ports for trade. She trades all 27 products listed in Scripture. She has traded in slavery and the souls of men. She makes the merchants of the earth rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
That's the spirit of Babylon itself. That's the spirit of the overarching.
The spirit of Babylon doesn't trade 27 products,
Chuck.
This is commercial Babylon.
I'm describing the commercial Babylon. The purpose,
spiritual Babylon,
Rick,
is here.
Rick, the purpose of the Word of God is to get people live changed, not to agree that America is Babylon the Great or not. We'll be right back.
I know that, Chuck, but if you know
we'll
that you're
right
in the
back.
Seventh
Considered
nation.
What the early church was like.
Okay.
Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
for the edification or lack thereof of our listeners here today, before we ever started this program, I spoke with our special guest, who is a delightful person, and said, let us not spend time focusing on whether or not America is Babylon the Great, because there will be discussions, argument, and so on. Let us focus on what it means to come out of Babylon. Let us focus on what that means and what God is saying to his people, his church, not just to come out of Babylon, but what does that mean? But what's happening here is we keep going back to whether America is Babylon the Great. It's not helpful. It's not helpful at all. God is calling his people to come out both from the spirit of Egypt, from the spirit of Edom, from the spirit of Babylon. Those spirits are inimical to God and his message, and he won't have anything to do with any of them. So the question is, if the Bible says, as it does in Revelation 18, come out from among her, that is the spirit of Babylon, my people, first of all, who are his people? Next, what does it mean for his people to come out of Babylon when obviously the scripture implicates them as already being in Babylon? So, Rick, we're talking about believers. That's God's warmest audience, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the only audience he's speaking to in the Bible. He's not speaking to unbelievers. They're condemned already.
Well,
he wants us to speak to unbelievers.
We were condemned before we got saved. I think he's talking, the word's for everybody, Chuck.
Gee.
The word is for everybody.
We understand that, Rick. That's a given. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But those who have come into salvation, confession of sin, and received Jesus Christ, they become God's warm audience that are referred to as the church broadly, right?
Yes, those that are called chosen and faithful.
It's that church that is in Babylon. That is the problem. The church is in Babylon, and God is calling her to come out. Now, does that mean, because you've concluded that America is Babylon the Great, that all Christians must flee America and go to wherever?
No,
that's exactly my point.
So let us
focus on what it means specifically for Christians who are walking, living in the spirit of Babylon in their own lives. What must they do to leave the spirit of Babylon?
They have to confess their sins.
What sins?
To stop sinning.
What kind of sins? Let's get specific,
adultery,
because there's some
lying,
things. Oh, adultery. Okay. But
adultery,
right now,
lying,
okay, hold
stealing.
On just a minute. Hold on. Let's get specific. Let's not dance. Right now, the majority of pastors in this country approve of post-divorce remarriage if your spouse is still living. Jesus said it's adultery. What do you say?
I say in Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 18, it says, except it be for fornication.
Yeah, and what kind of fornication is that talking about? Before marriage.
Probably when adultery.
Before marriage, just like Mary and Joseph, before marriage, is not talking about anything after marriage. Because there, Christians are supposed to forgive. You see, we've got it all backwards, all wrong, to try to justify Babylonian thinking.
Are you saying that everybody that's remarried then can't be forgiven?
No, I didn't say that at all. I said they're adulterers if they are remarried and their spouse was still living when they remarried.
So are they going to go to heaven, Chuck?
I didn't say, that's not the issue. The issue is they have to confess their sin. That's
absolutely
the point, and you don't want to talk about that.
No, I do.
Well, then let's do it. Let's do it then.
You come out and you confess Jesus Christ as Lord.
No. You don't just confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You act as if he is. If he says, if Jesus says, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery, and the Apostle Paul repeats exactly the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7:39, then why is it that we are not willing to agree with both Jesus and the Apostle Paul say? We're in Babylon. That's Babylonian thinking. That's exactly the problem. And that's why we have no revival.
Well, I think that's what I'm saying in my book, that when it says that Babylon's become the habitation of every foul and unclean spirit.
No, that's generalized terminology. That's generalized terminology that every Christian and the pastor think is talking about the world. It's not addressing the world. It's addressing Christians. That's the point.
Well, I've said in my program that the church is supposed to affect Babylon, not Babylon come in.
I agree with that, but if the church
is
acting like Babylon, the church cannot affect Babylon, and that's exactly the point. The whole church growth movement, the whole church growth movement spread Babylon throughout the church. The seeker sensitive mood put it on steroids, diminishing the authority of God and his word to make people feel good with the culture. That's Babylon.
In other words,
is the spirit of Babylon.
They haven't followed the word.
Exactly.
They followed the herd.
Okay. So, if we're going to be specific, we need to get specific if we have any hope. Do you know what happened in Rochester, New York, when Charles Finney, a lawyer, was raised up by God to speak there? It says when he spoke, it was as if a rifle went off. You know why it said that? Because he spoke with particularity to the sins of the businessmen, the lawyers, the doctors, everybody. He spoke with particularity. He actually laid it out. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit anointed that word, and the people repented en masse. The jails emptied, the bars emptied, and to the point, the Reader's Digest, 150 years later, looking for the kindest city in America, selected Rochester, New York, and you know what they traced it to? That bullet point preaching of Charles Finney. We don't have people doing that today in this country. That's why we have Babylon in the church.
Well, yes, and also, we're fulfilling prophecy. God said this would happen. The prophets said that this would happen.
I agree.
When they crucified Jesus, he said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
All right.
God knew exactly what they were going to do to Jesus.
All right, so if you read the book of Hebrews, you find that when we're doing the kinds of things that I've just been iterating here, we are, again, crucifying the Lord of glory. That's what the book of Hebrews says.
Yes, if we're living in sin, we are, yes.
Okay.
I agree.
So the church is living in sin. That's the problem. It's Babylon. I don't know how I can get this across. The statistics are just overwhelming. And we don't want to talk about it.
Chuck, I don't think everybody in the church is a Babylon.
That isn't the point.
I think there's a remnant of people who are following God with all their heart.
I don't disagree with that at all. But we're talking about the broader professing body of Christ in America.
Well, you're talking about 70%, which is the seven churches, and only two of them are following the word.
Okay.
And if you go and look at the other five churches,
so we're going to presume that everybody that's part of the remnant is already part of the remnant, and everybody else is not part of the remnant, but is going to our churches, and we're not going to preach the word to them because it might be convicting, it might make people feel bad, and it might diminish the numbers in our churches that we're reporting to our denominational heads and raising money. That's the problem that we have. The whole evangelical economy is Babylonian.
I would say a large portion of the body of Christ and leadership are motivated by money and building things.
That's Babylonian spirit.
I won't paint everybody's wrong except me.
I wouldn't do that either because I have my own wrongs that God is dealing with.
Yeah, I'm doing my best to follow the word as I was told. Now, when those men in the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and John,
right,
when they prophesied, Jeremiah, they stoned him to death. Isaiah, they cut him in half.
Right.
Daniel, they threw him in the lion's den. They were all fighting the same demonic spirits that we're fighting today.
No. You know what they were fighting? They were fighting the unrighteousness in God's house. Not in the world, in God's house.
But
God even told Jeremiah to stand in the... What's that?
It's the same spirits today that are in the church.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. And that's why we're not preaching so as to allow the Word of God to grip the minds and hearts of the people with conviction. We're just not doing that. Anywhere, hardly. Because we're too interested in pleasing the people and pandering to the culture and its ways. That's the spirit of Babylon, and that's why we've got the problems we have in our country.
There's no doubt that the nation has fallen in darkness and walked away from God, but there is a remnant. There is a remnant inside.
I don't disagree.
And around
God is calling out the remnant. We don't even know who the remnant ultimately is going to be, because the Bible says many that we thought were part of the remnant are going to fall away.
Yeah, it's not for you or me to determine.
Exactly.
It says that, pray that you might be found worthy to escape. God,
which means we have to preach repentance. We have to preach repentance that allows people to come clean before God so that they can be part of the remnant.
Yeah, and that's why you have altar calls. Come forward in the church, accept Jesus,
No. You're talking about using the church as an evangelistic tool. That's not the purpose of the church gathered. The purpose of the church gathered is to preach and teach the Word of God, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, and to bring correction of righteousness to God's people.
I agree. That's the fivefold ministry.
No. Okay. Look, Rick, I think your heart is right on this, is good. But I think you're so interested in trying to convince us that America is Babylon the Great that you can't
see through. Just a second. When Jeremiah said God is going to judge this covenant nation, he's going to judge Judah.
Yes.
They threw him in the cistern.
True.
It was his job to warn them. The Bible
exactly.
says in Ezekiel 33, if I show you that calamity is coming and you don't warn the people and they die in their sins, their blood will be on your head.
And he's talking to the church.
He's talking to Israel, not the world. Listen, Chuck. He's talking to a prophet, to Ezekiel. And he's saying, if I show you what's coming and you don't warn them. Now, it's just like going to the doctor. If I said to you, you know, Chuck, there's coming a day, there's an appointed time when you're going to die. And you go, and Chuck says, well, of course I'm going to die. Everybody's going to die. But what if that doctor said, Chuck, you are full of cancer and you got 4 months.
All right.
Now, all of a sudden, your whole paradigm changes. Instead of wondering what the next vote you're going to get or who's playing at the ball game, all of a sudden you have a destiny. You are going to die.
I agree with that.
You're going to enter into eternity.
But again, you're missing the point that the message of the prophets was not to the world. It wasn't to Babylon. It was to the church of that day. It was to the Jewish people. And I'm going to read directly from the book of Ezekiel as we wrap up.
Listen to me, please.
I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. Those are the people of God, okay? You shall say to them, thus saith the Lord God, and they will not hear you, for they will not hear me. Don't be afraid of them, Ezekiel. Neither be afraid of their words. Be not afraid of their words. You shall speak with my words to them. That is my people, the church, the supposed remnant, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. It's not a message to Babylon. It's a message to the church. Now, we need to get that understanding if we have any hope for America to have Josiah's moment. I love the title of your book. I really do.
We're in a Josiah moment, Chuck.
Yes, we are.
And the nation is sick.
That's what I wanted to focus on.
A lot of the nation is sick. The only answer is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And the nation,
and it has to start
to
in God's house. Judgment will begin at the house of God. After that, It's God's business. We'll be back after this tomorrow, friends. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.